Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ain't it in the band, that's what my friend said. Call Jerry Kelly, man, jerrykelly.com. Give him a call, even though it's late, jerrykelly.com.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark scores with you on a Monday. One more hour of the Chris and Amy Show. Yes.
Ranji's doing his duty in the city of St. Louis.
He is doing his duty as a juror.
Yep.
Okay, you said you've done jury duty five or six times?
Yeah, 5 or 6 times, never been called.
So have you ever been involved in a case that lasted like a week or two?
Never. I've gone down. I've gotten to the point where they take you into the room and ask you questions. You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. bring all the jurors in there and they say, do you know anybody here? And I say, yes, I know you, Judge. And then that would get you to go. Because you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I got
conflict.
To the Inquisition part. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of other times that I was there where you sat for like a day and then you would come back the next day and then they'd eventually say, okay, well, we're not going to use you. So I've lucked out on that, but I do believe serving on juries are important because mm-hmm. God forbid I ever need one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be the people who couldn't get out of it. I want it to be the people yeah. who are actually going to pay attention and stuff. I'd probably use one of my preemptive challenges, though, against Ranj. If I saw him sitting there, I'd be like
we're, no, not
we're
this
putting
guy.
The black ball on him.
I think because John Hancock has always wanted to be called for jury duty, correct? And he never
yep.
has?
Well, he lives in the county.
Yeah.
See, like these people who grew up in St. Louis County or St. Charles County, you never get called to jury duty. In the city of St. Louis, I promise you, if you're a resident, you're going to be there in 3 to 4 years. You will get your turn.
Well, joining us now, wonder if he's ever done jury duty, is Chris Saliza. He's a political commentator, author of the daily newsletter So What, also an independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere. Might have seen him on News Nation as well. Chris Saliza, have you been called to jury duty?
I have. I got D.C. is like exactly what you were just describing. If you live in Virginia or Maryland,
yeah.
you might not ever get called. But if you live in D.C., I think it's every 2 years mm-hmm. they can call you. Like clockwork, when I lived in D.C., the second year, they get around to you. But I've never gotten to serve on a jury. I've actually kind of wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I'm one of those weird ones.
Yeah, that is weird. Because you could be sequestered for like a month.
Oh, you're expecting him to pull a Pauly Shore and sit in a hotel and watch and keep the case going on that long?
Hey, Chris, honest question.
Exactly.
You never got picked. Did that have anything to do with the fact that you talk about the news and have to give opinions and all of that?
Yes, totally. Yeah. Being a journalist is actually not a good way to get picked.
Yeah.
And being a political journalist, even more so. Like, lawyers, when they're picking juries, they're like, do we really want a guy who's in that space? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like I was there. I never voiced any, like, very strong opinions about criminal justice. I just think I got disqualified because they just didn't want a journalist. And you know what? Most of the reporters I know have never been picked.
Right. Yeah, no, the more informed you are like that, I wouldn't want you on the jury either. You guys know too much.
All right.
Hey, have you weighed in on, as a juror in public opinion, about this Coldplay thing, Chris? Like, what's your take?
My.
Is it a fair punishment that's going down here? Why has the whole world gone nuts over it?
I don't know. It's viral. Look, if I understood what makes things go viral, I'd have retired already because I would just keep churning out viral content and then quit my job. But it is a very interesting, I mean, when I saw it, I wasn't at the Coldplay concert, but when I saw it on, I thought, oh, well, that's going to be a rough time for that guy. and I'm not sure I thought it would go as big as it's gone. I mean, I've seen Donald Trump and Hillary memes. I've seen Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein memes. I've seen the Philly Fanatic. I've seen Dwight from The Office and Pam from The Office. I mean,
it's been a phenomenon.
It's just, I mean, is some of that like it's summer and like we need some distract? I don't know, but I mean, it is. When I saw it, I did think to myself, I bet that guy's going to have to resign. Like just having seen enough politics things like that play out, it always kind of ends that way. But I didn't think it would be like a, you know, national and international sensation.
Yeah, but Chris, do you think some of it could be a pushback to the years that, you know, and Donald Trump packed into a lot of that anger? Where people are like, we've all had to go to HR, right? We've all taken tests. We've all been told what not to say to your fellow employee. And then the people who usually are wagging the finger at you are the ones who get caught on the kiss cam cheating on their spouses. It's some justice there.
Yeah, the woman being the chief people officer was delicious. You know, it's just, it is, I do, look, not to make this into like some big cultural commentary, but look, I do think, look, we know that the public, the average person is skeptical of elites, of bosses, of, you know, skeptical is the nice word for it. So I think there is a fair amount of these people say one thing and do another, and they're getting what they deserve. I do think that informs it. Even if it's on, like, a subconscious level, I think that drives some of this, like, look at these people who tell us how to act. I don't think there's any question about that.
Chris, I cannot believe it has been exactly 1 year, because it feels like 20 lifetimes ago. But 1 year ago, President Joe Biden announced he would not be running again, that he was dropping out of the race. I'm not sure really how you sum up what's happened in the past year or the consequences of it, but what are your thoughts as we roll around a year from that day?
Yeah, it's so funny because I remember, and I don't always remember this stuff, but I remember the exact second I found out that Biden had dropped out. It was a Sunday, and I was at a baseball tournament for my younger son in Cooperstown, New York. They run this amazing tournament in the summer where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. And we were walking through the Hall of Fame when someone recognized me and said, hey, have you seen the Biden thing? Because it was Sunday afternoon. I was not really looking at my phone. You know what I mean? I was trying to be in the moment with my son. And I remember it so distinctly. I'll probably remember it the rest of my life. I mean, it does feel like we've been through about four political lifetimes since then. I mean, we obviously had the shortened campaign, then we had Trump winning, and now, you know, look, yesterday was the six-month anniversary of Trump, you know, his first 6 months in office. I mean, it is, you can live a lifetime in a week in politics these days. It is really a remarkable thing. It's weird. I mean, it feels both like shorter than I remember and long. Like, I'm like, wow, that was a year ago. It feels a long time sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, I can't believe it's been a year.
Yeah. No, it has, so much has happened. And well, let's go to this. One of the bigger things that has happened that hasn't yet gone away is the Epstein story. And I brought up earlier, I don't understand how the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, as Attorney General, can say, we've got all these files, this is a big deal, we told you we'd get these guys, we're going to get these guys. And then now, just months later, says there's nothing to the Epstein story. Did Donald Trump miscalculate how much people cared about this, or will this just go away?
I think both of those things can be true. I think the Trump administration broadly, underestimated how much, especially their base, not just people, but the kind of MAGA base cares about it. And yes, at some point it will go away. I mean, look, at some point the guy hugging the CEO, hugging the chief people officer thing will be a distant memory, but it's probably not going to go away anytime soon. And I think that's Trump's problem, right? Like, he has thrown so much at the wall to try to distract. The most recent thing, it's a big deal here in Washington, is you know, he put on Truth Social yesterday that the Washington Commanders, the football team, need to change their name back to the Washington Redskins. I mean, this is all a tool of distraction. But I think, you know, Amy, I think you summarized why it's not going away, which is the Attorney General and lots of other people who are close to the Trump administration said that they knew these files existed. Kash Patel, who is the FBI director now, said the FBI director had all these files. And then to say, well, actually, there's no there there. Everything's fine. Everybody looks somewhere else. It just doesn't compute, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a thinking person, it doesn't add up. And I think that's their problem. It doesn't logically make any sense that Pam Bondi in February said she was reviewing the Epstein client list. And then in July, there is no Epstein client.
Right.
And they've not found a way to explain that in a way that makes any sense to someone who's not all the way in the tank for Donald Trump.
Well, we got to learn about the president's health. I mean, they were so desperate about wanting to change the subject, they told us about his health. I mean, they're still standing by the fact that he's 210 pounds.
That is a great point, because they have been so resistant, and Donald Trump has been so resistant the entire decade that he's been in public life to talk about or release anything related to his health, that the idea that they voluntarily did it, that tells you something.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like there aren't other things going on in the world, in the country, that are worth talking about. And we see what's a lot of tension regarding ICE right now and the different raids that are going on, or violence against ICE officials. I get that. I think it was just such a stunning about face when it came to the Epstein files. And not only that, but mockery from the part of President Trump to anybody who dares to bring it up again after it was very much made a prominent issue.
Well, and I'll just add, you know, to the mix, look, Elon Musk, amid his kind of bromance breakup with Donald Trump, put on Twitter that Donald Trump won't release the Epstein files because Donald Trump is in them. Now, Musk has since deleted that tweet, but, you know, when you add all that in, it's like, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but it feels, I just think if you're a thinking person, it feels like there's more to the story than we know right now. And I think that's what's driving it, too. It's like, there has to be a reason that Pam Bondi said what she said in February about having the Epstein client list on her desk versus what she's saying now. What is the reason? They haven't explained it at all. And I think that's what drives, you know, people are curious. We love a good mystery, and that's what we have.
A quick question for you, Chris, before we let you go. You mentioned the Washington Commanders and how President Trump wants them to change their name back to the Washington Redskins, the name that they had for years, or threatening a stadium deal. I don't know the details. Is can the president do that? Can you threaten a stadium deal, or was it just state funding?
By the way, Amy, if you want a good theme for the first 6 months of Donald Trump in office, it's can the president do that?
Is that legal?
You could do a lot worse than that. So I think the answer is we don't know. But for people who aren't familiar, basically what's the Commanders play out in Maryland at a very inconvenient site that is not, I mean, it's within the kind of broader DMV area, but it's not close. It's not in the district. They want to move it back to RFK Stadium, or at least that area, which is within D.C. The D.C. City Council is wavering. The mayor obviously wants this to happen. And, you know, look, Donald Trump, I don't know the answer to does he have the actual ability to do it, but him coming out and saying he might try to do it, I think, makes people nervous.
Isn't this the part that people find exhausting about Donald Trump, is that it's an every aspect of our lives? We've lived it before, and now he's getting back into the NFL again?
Yeah. No, I think it is true.
Yes. I mean, look, he is an absolute, I always say this about him, he's an absolute content machine. Mm-hmm. He has takes on everything. The Washington Commanders and reality TV and North Korea and the Republican Party and Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, he's just an endless fount of takes. He's in some ways perfect for this era of content. But it does get a little bit... When I saw the Washington Commanders thing yesterday, I was driving back from a soccer thing with my son, And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a thing. And of course, on sports radio in D.C. this morning, that's all they talked about.
Right. Chris Saliza, political commentator, author of the daily newsletter So What? He's an independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere as well. And you will see him contributing to News Nation. Chris, always a pleasure to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Chris Saliza. He is Michael Kelly.
Hey, now.
I'm Amy Markscores. I think we have a potpourri of things to get to in a couple of minutes. The City Justice Center in the news again. Matt offended Michael with how he drinks coffee. And the texts are pouring in. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kelly, Amy Markscores with you. Keep this number, save it in your phone. You can call us or text us, 314-436-7900. We're going to want to hear from you at 11:30 because we've got a new thing this week we're doing. I'll just tease it, the midday midlife. And then we'll get into it at 11:30, but you're going to need that phone number. Also, the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message at any time with the Odyssey app on the KMOX page.
When I arrived early this morning for our show prep, Amy, I look over at producer Matt.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a very fancy coffee cup. It was like one of those clear ones you can see through. You know what I mean? Like
glass?
A glass.
Yeah.
Coffee cup.
Almost like an espresso, but bigger.
And it appeared as though he had one of those little stirring straws in it. You know, like you would maybe use to put a little...
Like the brown...
Sugar, yeah.
Like the old coffee.
Right.
Stirring straws.
And so I then look over at him as the morning transpires, and he's sucking on it like it's a Slurpee. And I'm like, wait a minute, dude. You're drinking hot coffee through a straw? And he's like... Yeah, it's better for my teeth.
The straw bypasses the teeth, keeps those teeth nice and white.
But what about the heat, the hot coffee hitting the back of your throat? Because your tongue and you can prepare for that.
I don't know. It's never that hot. I don't get how it's any different than sipping it. It'd still be hot in your mouth, right?
Yeah, but who drinks coffee that's not frozen or cold with a straw?
Why does the temperature matter, whether it's hot or cold, you know?
Well,
because you could burn yourself. Like,
you
could
burn yourself sipping.
What about if the coffee is hot and it melts the plastic of the straw?
Oh no, I get good straws.
Mm.
It just seems awfully dangerous. Now, do you feel as though that your teeth have remained exceptionally white as a result? You have good looking teeth. How often do you get them whitened?
Oh, never. I mean, I get them like a cleaning once a year, but I've never gotten them whitened.
So do you, when you eat blueberries, do you not eat them? You just mash them up and throw them behind your teeth so they won't sting your,
I swallow them whole.
Okay, well, I need to get my teeth
whitened.
Whenever Matt uses his straw to drink coffee, and I drink like a pot of coffee a day, it's awful.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Your heart, probably of any heart in this building, could handle the extra beating.
I think it's bad for you. And you read all of these things like...
That's the part that
coffee has mold in it, and coffee is processed, and it's so bad. See, it's scary. Everything scares me.
The caffeine on your heart is what scares me.
Yeah.
Don't you feel your heart beat faster when you drink, I don't know, a pot of coffee?
I know you would think. Here's what I think. I think I'm so exhausted all the time. And they do say that if you drink less coffee, you might feel less exhausted because it's almost like taking a drug. Uh-huh. You know, all that caffeine, you're addicted to it. You don't get the high from the caffeine anymore. The only time I notice the caffeine is when I'm not running.
Mm.
And I think it's because I'm not waking up early to run. I'm waking up early, but not that early. And I'm not running 80 miles a week. And then I had to really cut down on coffee. Otherwise, I couldn't sleep at night. Mm. I feel like I can sleep all the time.
I eliminated coffee from my life.
Yeah?
I did it
over
time. Yeah, it was during the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking like a pot of coffee a day, you know, because we were all at home. And so then I thought, well, how am I going to wean myself off of this? So I started buying one bag of decaf, yep. one bag of regular, and I eventually got it down to just 100% decaf. And then I was like, why am I doing this? Other than to go through the routine of smelling and sucking it through a straw.
Well, speaking
sucks
of that,
coffee through a straw.
We have a 512. It says, this is a pretty broad brushstroke here. A man shouldn't use a straw.
Ooh.
Or anything?
I don't know. For anything? That seems
do you use a straw
unfair?
Like when you, like if you had a vodka tonic when we go out tonight, would you suck it through a straw?
If they hand me a little stirrer straw, probably.
Are you serious? A cocktail through a straw like that?
What's it there for?
Give us your man card.
Well, I would be ordering
that's
that
weird,
drink
right?
anyway.
What do you think if a man was Michael. Over there like with his little vodka tonic and he's sucking it through a straw? You'd be like, oh, man.
Michael
you
had
beast of a human. Come take care of me.
Michael had the same look on his face as that astronomer CEO. His eyes got wide and he was horrified. 618 says, my sister drinks her coffee through a straw. I also thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it's 618. People know what I'm talking about.
Eccentric is the word.
The 512, he's the one that said men shouldn't use straws. He says also says life ain't fair.
Now,
so I guess, see, that's why.
There is a time in a man's life where he should no longer wear sandals.
Oh, when you get corn chip toes.
Yeah,
like that's disgusting.
There's some people, but I don't know that there is men shouldn't use a straw. Now, I prefer to drink water from a glass, like,
but I see a lot
it.
Of like big gulp at like Quick Trip or whatever.
Yeah,
all those guys use straws.
Yeah,
with
look,
a big
if I
gulp.
Went to a fast food restaurant and I got a water or soda, I would suck it through the straw. But in my regular life, I never pull out a straw for anything.
If you've got like a soda in a cup and the cup's got ice in it, I don't want all the ice like rushing towards me. So sometimes I like the straw. I can control the amount of fluid coming.
Yeah, every girl I've ever watched get ready before they're gonna go out. Drinks through a straw because they put the stuff on their lips and they don't want to mess it up. So they've got their little, they're listening to music. You know what I'm talking about. You've done this,
well,
right?
I don't
you're listening
wear
to music,
lipstick.
Got,
I wear chapstick.
And they're sucking things through a straw because, they've got putting their makeup on
well,
and they don't want to mess up.
And I know we have to break, but you brought up something that I, as a woman, don't understand. I don't understand lipstick and how you keep it on because you put it on and then like it comes off and then it comes off on cups or on the straws or
on
just
your teeth.
On your teeth or on your own lips.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't for that reason, I use chapstick or Burt's Bees, which has grapefruit.
I don't even use
chipstick.
That.
Oh, don't you get dry lips?
No.
You get dry lips when you keep using it and then stop using it.
That's the truth. I think those things force you to become
wet lip guys over here.
And then the next thing you know, your lips are so tender you have to drink coffee through a straw.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, that was productive. Michael Kelly sitting in for Chris Ranji, who is doing a duty for the jury.
He's jury
today. So hopefully he gets picked, and it's a long and complicated case. We've got our midday midlife next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you to everyone calling and texting in. We did get a text from a 314. Shamey needs to get off her preacher high horse. So, longtime listener, if
what
they know Shamey.
About?
Well, that's what I mean. She gives me flashbacks to my early education from Catholic nuns from a 314. I don't know if maybe this person's listening behind on the stream because I don't know what I was preaching about because we were talking about
coffee. Talking about the Pharisees.
maybe
somebody wrote
the Pharisees.
Letters to the Pharisees. Was it that wrote the letters to the Pharisees?
Paul.
The letters to the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
No, Jesus.
A letter from Paul
Jesus,
to the Pharisees.
Jesus spoke. No, he didn't write. Paul didn't write to the Pharisees.
He wrote,
let me just
off.
Tell you.
He
speaking of Catholic,
one.
I would go to Mass and they would say, next is a reading from so-and-so to the Pharisees. That's the only time I've ever heard the word Pharisees in my life.
I don't think he wrote. He was speaking probably to the Pharisees.
Was
Paul was a Pharisee.
Were the Pharisees pharaohs? Were they like where
no, they were leaders at like the temples. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but that probably was preachy. I get that. If that's what, I don't know if this is what the 314 was talking about.
I like you bossing me around, Amy.
Well, and I will say this. I get it. It's not, it's ultimately not good, not Christian to like delight in the downfall of someone else because there were, people were hurt. But I think it was just gratifying because people, we all kind of agreed. I think it's one of the things that we, the whole community agreed on is that adultery, cheating on your spouse is wrong. There's so few things that we agree on these days. And it was a lot of America coming together saying, this is wrong. And it's such a hurtful, lying, betraying wrong. It's the, you know, the ultimate broken promise. I think that's why people were, it felt gratifying.
I can't believe I'm going to defend this guy. Losing his job over it? There's been people elected president who, you know, so like, I don't know that the person or these two people should lose their
jobs. Well, here's why they should, but I get your point. Should everyone lose their jobs if they are adulterers? Well, of course we know that doesn't happen. But the reason why they lost their jobs, or I should say he resigned, it's not because he had the affair. It's because it was in the company.
Yeah.
The CEO had an affair with the HR head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the job thing came in. If he had just had an affair, he probably would have stayed CEO and they would have split it half and
it
half with his wife.
It was the fact that he was doing it with the people officer.
Yes, yeah, that's, not good. That's the job part. It wasn't just because he had an affair. Yeah.
Well, how old do you think these two are? 50s?
Probably.
Yeah,
late 40s, 50s. So we are doing a new... Well, not a new thing. We're doing something this week. It's called the Midday Midlife. Now, I am a little concerned that the term midlife is offensive for the age group we're talking about, which would be 40.
Okay.
The big age is, let's say, 35 to 45. This is a relevant conversation. Well, of course, no one would say 35 is middle-aged. But it is kind of like it's a big...
Statistically, it is.
Statistically. So it's not middle-aged. It's more of like the middle of your life. Like, I'm going to be 42. In less than a week, I'll be 42. So I'm not... I don't consider it middle-aged, which I guess you could be. But it's more of like the midlife. Like, you're kind of reassessing, like, oh my gosh, I'm 40.
What have I done with myself?
Yeah, where am I going? You're looking through. And it's a weird age, too, Michael, because for me, you know, for my friends, 40, 41, 42, 43... You can have a kid in college at 43. And this is not a hypothetical. This was a party I went to.
Right.
One of them, the parents who were 42 and 44, they have a kid in college. Another couple there, 42, 44,
right,
have a baby.
Whoa.
Right?
Like an infant.
Yeah. In like a pumpkin seat. And so it's a really weird age where you could have older kids, you could have younger kids. You might be caring for an aging parent,
yeah,
but you also might you know, have very vibrant grandparents. Is it a weird time to change careers? It's kind of a very amoebic age.
Yeah, well, it's I guess I'm at the tail end of that 50, that middle age. Now I consider 40 to be in that place. And yeah, it plays tricks on your mind. You start to wonder, I never even thought about that. You're right. You have people who are old enough to have kids who are in college and some who have babies. Now, let me just tell you that you're going to be 60 years old when your kids graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a reality of what folks have faced. And then like this whole, like, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
That you've not have these kids. And let's be honest, in today's society, a lot of people are divorced. Maybe they're going out trying to find their new spouse and start their new life.
That's a good point. Like, some people are getting married for the first time. Some people are literally starting over because they've had kids, they've gotten divorced, and they're dating now.
Right.
They could be dating with kids. Like I said, that 40-ish, you know, 40, 45, whatever it is, it's a really weird age. So we want to hear from you, 314-436-7900. Call or text the Odyssey app on the KMOX page. You can leave us a voice message. We're going to talk about different issues that are facing this age group all week long. Tomorrow, actually, we are going to be talking about like kids, having kids. Annie Fry from 97.1, she has a bunch of kids and I think started not young like super young, but you know, on the younger side, Trisha, who is a program manager, she just had her first kid at 36. I don't have kids. I'm 42. And just kind of talking about this age and what it's like.
Well, and it's so much different than the world that our parents grew up in, because I don't know about your parents, Amy, but my parents, like, they knew in high school. I mean, they started reproducing once they at college age. You know what I'm saying?
Early
20s. I think my mom had six of us by the time she was 38.
So
that's almost unheard of
in
today's world.
So, Michael, I know you just celebrated your 50th.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you want to share, because I know like you're pretty honest on air and in the office. Are you where you thought you would be? Did you think you would have a big old brood of kids?
Well, you were, a little bit. I mean, I don't know that I ever thought about having kids. I can tell you what has been a common theme. I'm one of six people, kids. I have five sisters, right? So I'm the only boy. So there's always been this psychology in the back of my head dealing with, oh my gosh, you know, the name's got to go on.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with a bunch of things. And it's been a constant theme in the back of my head. If I have a child, am I going to be passing this stuff on to this child? Can I make this person's life a better life than the one that I've lived? And I have to tell you, I guess the answer is probably yes, but I'm scared. I've been scared about it, to be responsible for someone and you know, such an impact. I don't know, but my parents were such huge influences in my life. I believe they made me the good person that I hopefully am today, and I worry that I would fail at that.
Well, I think it's normal to feel afraid that you would fail, but I know you said like you're worried about passing along what you see are like shortcomings or issues, but one, life is hard and everybody's got things. Mm-hmm. Everybody has shortcomings. Sure. Everybody has issues. So you know if someone is alive, they're going to face hardships. That's just the way life is. But you've had, from the outside, like great experiences.
Sure.
You're a great person. You have so many great friends and community. Did that outweigh
Yes, I had a party, and that really was helpful in right setting of my mind thought process. But I'm trying to think like I have, you know, and what I deal with. I guess the other thing I would tell you, Aim, is that it just you I don't know, you wind up wondering, am I going to die alone? Am I going to be, when you're single, you know? And I think that's a motivator of, I'm jealous of people who have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was there and I've been there for my parents aging. I don't have kids.
Yeah.
Will somebody come look at me? So in my midlife, that's one of those things that I'm thinking about. Now, why am I consuming brain time on that rather than the heart of the matter? But I don't know.
No, I think that's really fair. And I think in our heads, we kind of always feel like the younger version of ourselves. You know, we know our younger selves. That's who we identify with. So then as we grow older, it's hard to grasp that. Michelle is calling in, I think from Festus. Michelle, thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm from Fenton, actually.
Oh, Fenton.
No worries. Hi.
Yeah, so go ahead, Michelle.
So it's my birthday today, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
But when I was 44, and I love this conversation because it's so true, like, I realized at 44, for whatever reason, I stopped doing what I was doing, because I was like, I'm going to live a whole nother lifetime, and I don't want to live unhappy. And so that was my click, like a whole, you know, like I've already lived half my life, and I'm going to make some changes so that I'm happy.
Did you?
No, I absolutely did.
Like, anything you want to share? Like, are they monumental changes, or were they just like, I quit drinking coffee?
Well, no, I continue to do that. I went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job. I used to run a daycare in my home because that's all I could do, because I didn't go to high school. I mean, I didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found a job, and I entry level at a advertising agency. I did all the things that I was scared to do, and I did them.
Wow.
And scared to death, you know what I mean, of things that normal people did every day.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I've never been, it was like an opener, like, huh, I'm pretty smart. I got this. No, it was just a really good took a lot of courage, but it was more knowing that, not that I thought I was going to die, but I thought, my gosh, I'm 44. That went by so fast. I want to live happy in my best life, you know, the next 44.
Right.
And that's such a, thank you for calling, Michelle. That's so interesting. And that's such a great perspective on how you looked at it. Not like, oh, I only have this much left. It's like, wow, I've got half, like, I've got a lot left, right? I want to be happy. Even though the first half went by fast, there's still a ton of life to be lived. And so she made those changes.
But that's a courageous decision she made as well. Because I think we all dream like, you know what? I don't want to keep going to this rock pile. I want to do something different. But we're afraid to leave because of financial security or for, you know, other reasons. I always like to hear stories from someone like this. I mean, she woke up and made major changes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I have the courage to do that.
We and we're going to continue this conversation. I'll the quick text here is 636. Says, tell Michael Kelly he's not alone. He goes, he's 63, but he doesn't have any kids, and he wonders the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I said it's a he. I don't know if it's a he,
right.
But this 636 said they wonder the same thing.
There's more people out there that are not having kids or having less kids, etc., and I think it's a concern everybody has. I know the Dave Glover situation with his mother where he was going to the you hold the hand of somebody who died. I mean, that was extremely personal for me.
So we want to hear from you. We'll continue this conversation, 314-436-7900. Thank you to Michelle for calling in. Keep the text coming. The midday midlife conversation. We're kicking it off today. We'll talk about it all week. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. So we're talking about our midday midlife. We will be having this discussion every day this week, I think at 11:30. Like, we're going to try to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
But midday midlife, and we're just talking about kind of what a weird age it is to be 40, 44. Some people have babies. Some people have kids in college. The one text, Michael, who said that she didn't have kids, was 63 and wonders the same thing. Like, am I going to die
alone? Yeah.
It is a woman. She said, it's a she. My husband and I retired. We sold our business. Now we do what we want. But she does have those same thoughts you have. Another 636 said, the scariest part for me having children was being financially prepared, only to find out you were never fully prepared.
Right.
But it's amazing having, it's amazing raising children.
I wonder if having kids, because I don't have them, is kind of like once you're doing it, you know how to do it and you figure a way out. But when you see it from the outside, I find it so intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to pay for this human? How am I going to make sure this person's going to be a decent person?
Every single person I've talked to who says you have the baby, you're in the hospital, the nurses are there, and then they send you home.
Uh-huh.
And then you get home and you have this baby and you're like, What do I do now?
Yeah.
What do I, like, I just have this baby that's so irresponsible for someone to just give me a baby, you know? And every parent I've talked to explains that exact same phenomenon of just being home and having a baby. Now, before I got into radio, I mean, I stayed in the homeschool community. Like, I was around kids all the time. I helped homeschoolers, you know, all different ages from kindergarten through high schoolers. I always thought I would be a homeschool mom, like a stay-at-home mom with like four or five kids. I'm the last person in the world. Literally, it feels like an out-of-body experience to be here and say, oh my gosh, you know.
Right.
You don't have kids. You're not going to have kids. Like, it's weird. I mean, it's been, we talk about so much and share so much on the radio that it can sound kind of flippant, but it's not. I mean, it's been a huge thing. It's really weird. It's been hard. Yeah.
Well, it's completely different than what your brain had thought you were going to do. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm obviously not a female, and to have that feeling and then to take the choices you've made. But aren't you happy? Are you generally happy with the choices you've made in life? Because you're midway through it.
Yeah. I am. I'm more like surprised by it. What's weird is the choices I made in life were a lot of them were based on the assumption that I would be a stay-at-home mom and homeschooling. Like, I don't have, debt, college debt. I stayed in the homeschool community, kept teaching, working with kids because I wanted to, you know, be in that world and practice and, you know, keep up my skills. You know, books, you know, oh, I'm going to buy these different books for when I homeschool one day. And it's really, really weird that some of the students now that I was in the homeschool world as a homeschooler or as a teacher for the past 30 something years. But I started helping homeschool moms when I was 19.
Yeah.
And so some of those students are now parents. Like, now they've grown up, gotten married, and have kids of their own.
Well, isn't that kind of maybe some of the beauty of life? Because you had a preconceived notion of what your situation was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, I thought I was going to be a union guy. I was going to be, you know, in one of the trades.
Yeah.
And, you know, in fact, I'd hoped to do that. And circumstances in life changed, and look at me now. Same thing for you. You know, I'm sure there's people out there whose kids are like, well, I wonder how this lady got on the radio. And you can tell a young person, like, listen to her story.
Yeah.
She thought this, and look at what she's doing now. She writes books. She's on the radio. Your world can change in an instant, and even at midlife.
It really can. Yeah, it's crazy. And like I said, we're going to talk about this all week. And I know we share so much on the radio, but I mean, it's emotional.
Heck,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. There's things that you grieve. There's things that you thought would happen that didn't happen.
And so, we didn't even get into parents, right?
No,
because you're not only dealing with your kids in your own life, but you've got your folks as well who are living longer than ever.
Like I said, tomorrow we'll continue this conversation. It'll be fun to chat with Annie Fry, Trisha Everdeen about, you know, different ages, having kids grow, you know, and you in some ways still feel like a kid yourself.
Right.
You're bringing life into this world. Michael Kelly, you are the best.
I love you.
In clutch while Chris Ranji is at jury duty. Hey, if he gets picked, we might need you again this week.
Can you believe if he were to go into, you know, solemn, what are they?
Sequestered.
That'd be interesting. That would be to St. Louis.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.